the book of Psalms, chapter number 89, and one that wonderful scripture from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. First of all, from Psalms chapter 89, I'm going to read the first 5 verses. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and will build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness, also in the congregation of the saints. Notice one word in the first verse, the third verse, and the fifth verse. The faithfulness of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God is able to see you through to the other side with victory. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Not just barely make it, but to have a grand entrance. Thank God for those who make it, but I'm glad today the gates will swing open wide and we can have a grand entrance into that pearly white city. There are some portions of Scripture that are not really easily understood. I know that. Sometimes, even from the Sunday school lesson this morning, some things were brought out that I might not fully understand or fully agree with. And then I have some other ideas about things. And some things are not really easily understood, but listen to this. There are some things we should know. There's something that we can surely know in our hearts that is real, and this is it. We're serving a wonderful Savior. We're serving an awesome God. Do you believe it? Amen, amen, amen. Let me list some attributes of the Almighty God. First of all, and I'm going to go down the list, He's good, He's just, He's righteous, He's true, He's merciful, He's loving, He's long-suffering, He's forgiving, He's compassionate, He's sinless, He's holy. And then in those 3 verses from the 89th chapter of Psalms, and now in the 10th verse, 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want this attribute stands out in bold letters. But God is faithful. Has He been faithful to you? Amen. 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 Undoubtedly, this is one of the greatest promises in all of Scripture. When you begin to realize what the Lord is saying, He's giving us the assurance that if we'll serve Him and obey Him and keep the commandments of God and live right, that we're going to have an abundant entrance into that city, and God will be with us. Whatever we go through, whatever the trial or the temptation or the difficulty, whatever it might be, He's going to see us through to the victory on the other side. Hallelujah. But listen, if you will, something here that most people, a lot of people maybe, have overlooked. I want everyone to understand the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 13th verse. No temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God's faithful. Listen closely. That condition, that promise, as wonderful as it is a condition. It's not a blanket condition, it's not a blanket promise. I imagine that many have been deceived and have overlooked the fact that there are some stipulations, there are some guidelines, there are some rules. If we're going to have that abundant entrance into that city, there's an if. In this scripture, I want to come back with me, if you will. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Who was it written to? Believers in Corinth. But if you go back to the very first part of that chapter, Paul is saying, these are some things that you must do in order to have this assurance. I'm going to share them with you. Beginning in the 6th verse, from verses 6 through 12, he's letting us know as believers although many have been deceived, and let me say this just before I come to that sixth verse, I'm glad today that we're not living under the law, we're not bound by the law of the Old Testament, we're living in a time of the grace of God that's been abundantly bestowed upon us, and some people have the idea that since we're no longer living under the law, but we're living under grace, that God does not have any guidelines or any rules. They say all of that would be legalism. Let me share something with you today. God has some rules. I'm going to run through a few that God said through Paul that we must have if we're going to have the promise of the 10th verse. In the 6th verse, he said, we must not lust after evil things. And he uses the children of Israel as an example. He said, while they were in the wilderness, and they got out there, and they began to lust after the flesh parts of Egypt, about the melons and the onions and the leeks and all the rest. They had already been given manna from heaven, angel food out of the heavens, and now they're complaining, and they're lusting after the flesh parts of Egypt. I want you to know today that there are a lot of people of our generation that are lusting after the things of the world and not after the things of God. God's given angel food, and no thanks, I believe I'll have this. What a sad picture. So many across the centuries have forsaken the things of God, and like the Israelites, have lusted after the things of the world. In the 7th verse, he said, we must refrain from idol worship. In the 8th verse, we must not commit fornication. Let me stop there for a moment. I know that in our generation that it's become very popular to live together without marriage. People have been saying, well, what's the benefit of a piece of paper? Why do I have that piece of paper? Adam and Eve didn't have a piece of paper. Why can't we live together without marriage? Now one state after another is passing laws for same-sex marriage. It's become a popular thing. In fact, if you speak out against it, you're criticized or ostracized. But the Bible says, here in this verse, it says, we must not commit fornication, and the millions a day are engaged in it. But let me say this, it was sinful back then, it's sinful today, it'll be sinful tomorrow, it'll be sinful as long as man's on this earth to live in such a lifestyle. Then he said, we must not tempt God, and then finally, must not murmur. A lot of church folks read the 13th chapter of the 13th verse of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and they rejoice at what God has promised, and rightfully so. If you're loving and serving God, you've got a right to rejoice with that promise. Amen, amen. Yet too many overlook what God requires. Two statements that I read in Dick's annotated Bible, I want to mention them. No man can be kept from falling if he persistently refuses to meet God's conditions. If we don't meet God's conditions, we'll fall. And the other statement was, the greatest of the saints can stand only as long as he depends upon God and continues in obedience to the gospel. We need the Lord every day of our lives. But listen, regardless of what others do and what others say, the promise is still true, but all that obey God's word, amen. All of those that live righteous, we can stand on the promise of the 13th verse of this chapter, and thank God for it. Many falter along the way. Many people will fail. Leaders will let you down. Man will let you down. Even friends will forsake you. But the Bible said, but God is faithful, and that's what I want to preach about. Let me just ask, it's not Wednesday night Bible study, but no one here but us and God. So I'll ask for a show of hands. Has anyone ever let you down? You might say, I didn't raise my hand. I can say, if you haven't been let down, you're the blessed person. If you have been let down and you've held on to God, you're still a blessed person. No doubt some have. Every one of us, there's been times in our lives when we were expecting something from someone, their lifestyle or something, and they let us down. But we're going to keep on serving God. Because God is faithful. I'm going to give some Bible examples. Go back to, and I'm not having you to turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis. And the Bible said that God had looked down upon man and saw that there was wickedness everywhere, violence everywhere, said, I'm going to destroy a man that I made and called Noah a righteous man, a man that loved God. Said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark for the saving of your household and for those that will come in. And Noah obeyed the Lord, and there came a time when the ark was completed, and God said, now is the time, and He brings all the animals are coming in, and they're all safely on the inside. Let me leave this with you today. Keep this in mind, if you will, what I'm saying right now. Before the fountains of the deep were broken up, and before the heavens were opened and the rains came down, a Bible tells me that Noah and his family went in. Why? Because God is faithful, and God had promised him that he would spare his life. God will never fail you. If there's any failing to do, it'll be us. God is faithful, and he... Noah, come on in. And I've looked at it, I've thought about it, I've preached about it, I've taught about it. With all the millions in the earth, some people might say, well, Brother Jones, that might not have been a million people way back then. Let me share this with you. From Adam to Noah was 1,700 years. If the children of Israel multiplied from 70 to some 3 million in 215 years in Egypt, man, there's millions and millions on this earth. When it came time for the flood, listen closely, and only 8 went in. And this is what I leave you today, and God said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I don't know what the percentage will be, but folks, the more we serve God and the more I see it, I can understand what Jesus said. When Jesus comes, will He find faith on the earth?
Amen.
Then He mentions only a few. If there's only a few that make it to heaven, I want this few to be in it.
Amen.
I intend to be in it. Hallelujah. If you intend to be in it, say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be one of the few.
Yes.
By the grace and the help of God, because of the faithfulness of God, and Noah and his family were saved on the inside. I read a little further. I came to the man by the name of Abraham, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament saints, and because of his obedience, God said in the 12th chapter of Genesis, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And I say, thank God, that is quite a promise. Are you still awake? He promises that every family of the world be blessed. That's the Ken Gordon family. That's the Parnell family. That's your family. That's my family. Every family in the earth will be blessed. There came a time, because of God's faithfulness, He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. He died for the sins. He paid our pardon. He paid our price for our pardon. And I want to leave something with you. After God made that promise to Abraham that I'm going to bless the families of the earth, did you know from the time of the law and the prophets, from Moses to Malachi, that promise was still in effect? Did you know in the Gospels and the apostles, Peter, James, John, and Paul, all of the New Testament, that promise was still in effect?
Yes.
When you come to the church age, the dispensation of the church. From the time when the church was born, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Until today, we are part of the church.
Amen.
That promise is still available today.
Yes.
I want to go a little bit further. That promise is going to be real in the tribulation period. At the time of the Battle of Armageddon. During the days of the millennial reign of Jesus. The promise is still going to be there. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of Abraham's obedience. I want to go one step further. After the second resurrection, after the dead in Christ are raised, and we're part of the first, but then after the second resurrection and the great white throne judgment, and on in the eon of ages, the promise made to Abraham will still be in effect. We'll still be rejoicing in the blessings of God. Because of Abraham's obedience. Brother, this thing is not just for a short time. This is not just for our lifetime here in the flesh. This thing is going to last forever and forever and forever. 10 million years from now. 10 trillion years from now. The time will no longer be counted. Amen. there'll be no end. You and I will still be enjoying the blessings of God. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Why are we going to continue to enjoy this blessing? Because we're serving a faithful God. What He has said He will do, He will do. Thank God, thank God. I went on in the Scriptures and I came to a man by the name of Jonah. When I saw what was going on in his life, let me just come back. I mentioned Noah. I mentioned Abraham. I want to mention one other here that is, before I leave this thought, I want you to think about the story of David. One of the great men of the Bible. Everyone, no doubt, is familiar with the story. In the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel, God was disappointed with King Saul, and God went searching for someone to replace him. And He sent Samuel to Jesse's house and said, "Anoint a son of Jesse." And Samuel anointed the youngest son of Jesse by the name of David to be the next king of Israel. In the 16th chapter, we read how that the prophet Samuel went there and anointed him. In the 17th chapter, the story of David killing Goliath with the anointing of God. The 18th chapter of 1 Samuel, we find all the victories that David had won as the leader of the Saul's army. Had he gone out and come back with victories, and the ladies stood on the side of the highways and the byways, and they were saying, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has 10,000, and they were giving glory and thanksgiving to David. He was a great man. He was the king. He became the king of Israel. But the chapter, when you come to the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, you find that David the king fell. Does anyone know what the verse of Scripture is? Just before this 13th verse? Know that no temptation taken us is coming to man? Anyone know what the verse is? Some of you are looking it up. Read it out loud. Think about it. "Therefore, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." Then we have that great promise in the 13th verse. David, no doubt, got to the place where he felt like, "I'm God's man, I'm God's anointed, God's blessed me, I'm the king, and everything's going good, and I've defeated the enemy, and the kingdom is prospering." And no doubt, David got lifted up within himself. And he had the idea that I can do whatever I want. Don't ever get that idea in your mind. When you get the idea that you can do what you want, you've missed God. David, you know the story, how that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And I read in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, that the Bible says the man that commits adultery with another man's wife, or with his neighbor's wife, not only him, but he and the adultery shall be put to death. So I want you to understand something. David, the king of Israel, handpicked by God, anointed by God, used by God, he served God for a while, but now he's committed a terrible sin against God. He has committed adultery with Bathsheba. He's worthy of death. He's brought reproach upon the nation. He's shamed his family. And the Bible says the punishment is not only to leave the throne, but to be stoned to death. But I'm going to share something with you. I've read the Bible through. I came to the 51st chapter of Psalms. And I hear David praying and repenting. And he's saying, "God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Wash me, wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me leave something with you right now. David prayed, he repented out of his heart, crying out for mercy, and God heard his prayer, and God forgave him, because God is faithful. He's faithful to forgive, amen. He forgave David. He forgave you. He forgave me. Aren't you glad he still forgives? Amen. Amen, amen. that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's a forgiving God. Let me go back one more time. Might be the last time I'll ever be able to tell you. On this side of the altar, my wife and I knelt together somewhere right about here. 3,000 miles from here, but right about here. And prayed and asked God to forgive. We went to the altar as backsliders, both having served God and loved God and obeyed God for a while. And then we got caught up with the things of the world. But on that service, we went to the altar together, knelt together side by side, prayed together asking God to forgive. And I'm glad that I can tell you out of a personal experience how God is faithful. No one has ever repented of sins, cried out to God with a repentant heart, but what God has been faithful to save. What a Savior, what a mighty God, what a blessed Redeemer. David was not put to death. He was forgiven. Became a man after God's own heart. Listen, if you will please understand, and I'm going to not take time here at all. But when the Lord comes back again, He's going to rule and reign from the city of Jerusalem. He's going to reign from the throne of David. Amen. Sometimes we overlook some small things, but they're big. David is a great man in the eyes of God. He failed. Yes, he failed. He sinned. Yes, he sinned. But that's a great big God. God forgives. Amen, amen. I think sometimes we overlook that. I think sometimes we take it for granted. Some even teach that it's automatic. If you sin after you get saved, it's automatically and that God is faithful to forgive you, not unless you repent. That's important for everyone to understand. But when he repented, when he cried out to God, have mercy on me, wash me and I shall be whiter than the driven snow. Cleanse me, I pray, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Make me what I ought to be. That's my prayer today for everyone. Make us, God, what we ought to be. For thy glory. Then I want to share some briefly. I've mentioned these three, Noah and Abraham and David, but let me just mention some others briefly. Having experienced that God is a faithful God. Jeremiah was called to preach. I have felt sorry for Moses. I have felt sorry for Jeremiah. And then I read some others and I feel sorry for them. And then I read that God's faithful and there's no need to feel sorry. Because God's got His hands on everything. I read about Jeremiah called to preach. God told him where to preach. God told him to whom he was to preach. And then God told him, I'm going to anoint you. I'll give you the words to preach to these people. But he says, but they're not going to listen. Now, he didn't say that about you. You are listening. But they're not going to listen. And here's Jeremiah preaching. Let me tell you what he's preaching. He's preaching exactly what God told him. Judgment's coming. Warn the people. If they don't repent, judgment's coming. They're going to be taken into captivity. They're going to suffer. If they don't obey, they don't repent. And rather than repenting, the Bible says that the authorities took the prophet Jeremiah and put him in a dungeon. And the dungeon was dark and damp. And he began to mire, the Bible said, he began to sink in the mire. Let me tell you something. They didn't put him there for a picnic. They put him there to die. But there's four words in 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful. And God spoke to a eunuch to go. And the eunuch came and got some help. Let down some rags, old cast rags, and dropped them where he could put the rope under his arms and they lifted him up. He would have died. Let me say this with you as well. You and I would have died spiritually, lost forever. But God's faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He didn't send an Ethiopian eunuch. He sent his son. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. I read on. I read about Jonah. Jonah, I got a message for you. I've got a assignment for you, Jonah. Jonah was a hard-headed preacher. Stiff-necked. I warned you to go to Nineveh. And when he said Nineveh, Jonah decided that's exactly where I don't want to go. And he headed the other direction. And you know the story, and I'm not going to take time. The Bible says that they, on their way, all the storm that came up. Then what happened? Jonah came out of the belly of the whale and went and obeyed God. And I can see him now. I'm not dressed like him, and I hope I don't smell like he did. He came out of that fish's belly. He started walking across the city of Nineveh, a huge city. Walked across the city of Nineveh, preaching repentance, or preaching judgment's coming. And when the king heard it, the Bible said, he repented in sackcloth and ashes. He called the people to fast. Your dogs, your cats, your cows, you know, everybody fast. Don't even feed the horses. Let them fast. And when the people, the king begins to repent and sit in sackcloth and ashes and cause the people to call on God, the Bible says, that when it was all over, God had heard the prayers of the king and the people of Nineveh, and he spared them because he's faithful. Why is he faithful? He said he was going to destroy, and he did. But he gave them another 100 years before he destroyed, because he's faithful. When somebody repents, God's faithful to forgive. Everyone that's ever been in this altar since 1978 in the month of September when we had the first service, everyone that's ever knelt in this altar, stood in this altar and asked God to forgive, God has forgiven because he's faithful. Hallelujah. How many? My wife and I have heard stories, and she said some words, how that one companion was unfaithful to another. That would be one of the most devastating things that could happen. I would rather my companion die than be unfaithful. And I say that humbly. I had rather die today than be unfaithful to my wife. I made a vow not only to my wife, but I made a vow to God.
That's right.
I've endeavored to keep it, and I plan to keep it until that day. Hallelujah. How many this morning, how many have faltered and failed, not realizing that God's faithful? God is faithful.
Yes, he
said, I will be there. Fear not, I'll be there. I'm going to go with you. When you're going through a hard place in life and a difficult time and tribulations and burdens come your way, you know which way to turn. God says, I'll be there. I can't promise you anyone that I would rather be with you than him. Amen. Our president will let us down. Our governor will let us down. Our mayor will let us down. The city council will let us down. Sometimes the church might let you down. Even the pastor might let you down. But he'll never let you down. God is faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul. The Bible says in the last part of the book of Acts, Paul was put on a ship in Caesarea, and he was on his way to Rome. They said, we're going to send you to Rome that you might stand before the emperor, and you'll be able to give your testimony. You'll be able to give a defense of that which brought against you. Paul was on his way to Rome. And the Bible says, while he's out there on the sea, on the Mediterranean Sea, a storm comes up. And it looks as if they're going to perish. The ship is going down. They throw everything overboard that they could to keep the ship afloat. But this is what I read in the Bible. I read that while Paul had the people fasting and praying, he says, an angel stood by me this night. He had a word from God. He said, fear not. Fear not, Paul. I'm going to save not only your life, but I'm going to save everyone on the boat. And I preach this right now as a sermon yet. It is good to be somebody, good to be with somebody that's got themselves anchored in the Lord. Don't run with the wrong crowd or you'll end up in the wrong place. It is good to be with folks. It's good to come together in God's house. I'm glad to be together with you. Think about it. I'm glad we meet together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday morning, prayer meeting, board meeting, whatever. You're the folks that I'm going to be with in heaven. And I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. And the Bible says about that trip that when the angel told Paul, "Fear not, because God has heard, God has seen. God is going to give you not only your life, but everyone on this ship." And you know the story, and I'll be very brief. But when they ran into the rocks and the boat broke up, now, I'm sure there were some like me on that ship. I'm not the best swimmer in the world. In fact, I'm far from it. I can swim from here to Tom. I'll guarantee you. If I get a running start. I was raised on the peninsula with water on three sides. We never had a boat. Never cared a whole lot about swimming. Who's going to go swimming when you can play ball? That was our philosophy. But let me share this with you. There were some on that ship that could not swim. But God said, "I'm going to spare everyone." Some had to get a hold of a piece of lumber that was floating and make their way to shore. Anything they could get a hold of to keep them afloat to make it ashore. And when the count was made, when they got on the shore, and maybe they got the log out, how many was on the boat? They found 276. How many is here? Well, we just found 276. If that was the number. I believe that it was, but everyone on board, why did I bring that up? Because God is faithful. If God said, "I'm going to spare everyone," God will spare everyone. If God tells you He's going to spare your family, He'll save every member of your family. Had somebody tell me one time, "Brother Jones, God has promised me that every one of my children is going to be saved." Listen closely to what I tell you now, and believe it. If God tells you that, it will happen. If it's just wishful thinking, it might not happen. But if God tells you, "I'm going to save your entire family," I'll tell you what He's going to do. He's going to save your entire family. Because God is faithful. I'm going to close. I'm going to leave some out, but I'm going to close with a thought that I jotted down this morning. When you quote that 13th verse, "There's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape." He will work it all out. I'm going to give you five reasons of how He's going to work it out. Five. That you can depend on because God is faithful. Number one is the grace of God. There's enough grace of God to go around for everybody. A plenty. Number two is the Word. Number three is the blood of Jesus. Number four is the Holy Spirit that dwells within your heart when you get saved. Number five, seated at the right hand of the Father this morning, is the Son of God. And He's praying. He's praying for Tommy, and for Wilma, and for Bee, for your name is Peggy, and my wife, and all the way around. He's praying. I want to go through that list again. "There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." Some of you have suffered. My wife has had plenty of that in the last month. Some suffer every time they come to church. They're not well. You can look on their faces. There's pain. But I want you to know when you look around, when you see those military people coming back from Iraq and from Afghanistan, trying to pick up a baby with one arm and one leg, trying to be a father, sometimes lost both legs and an arm, whatever they're going to do, we can look around and say, "God, You've been good to us." "There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful." Number one, keep it in mind, don't ever forget it. The grace of God is going to see us through to the other side. If God said that to Paul, He's saying that to you, He's saying that to me this morning. Glenn, whatever you're going through, my grace will be there. My grace is sufficient for you. Don't give up, don't give up. My grace will take care of you, man. Brother, that's enough to shout about. Number two, the Word of God. It cannot be broken. What do you mean, preacher? You can break the commandments, but you can't break the Word because the Word's going to still be there. Thirdly, the blood of Jesus. Grace, the Word, the blood of Jesus. Fourth, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that lives in the hearts and lives of every believer. He'll help you. And number five, He's seated at the right hand. As long as I know Jesus is praying for me, I don't have too much worry about what others say about me. What others might do. If the Lord is praying for us, brother, He gets through. He gets through to the Father. God hears. So I leave that with you this morning. I'm going to quote that verse one more time. I mentioned it the other, I think it was in Bible study. When we were going through that, and those words stood out to me, I said, one of these days, no doubt, I'm going to try to preach about that. And the more I thought about it, well, this is a good day. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. I want that to ring in your hearts and in your minds. But God is faithful. Whatever happens, but God is faithful. I'm not a politician. I've told you that many a time. I don't like the way things are going in America. I don't like the way that things are going in the government. I'm not here to point my fingers at anyone, but I don't like the way. But I do believe this. I believe everything that's happening, God has it all under control. God still sits upon the circle of the earth. He's still God Almighty. He's still awesome, an awesome God. Whatever happens, I want this to ring over and over and over in your heart. But God is faithful. You're sick and don't feel good, but God is faithful. Brother James, you're looking for a job and have a hard time finding it just recently. You got notice from the last application that they've removed the application. You're not going to have that job, but God's still faithful. Hallelujah. When you come down to the end of yourself and don't know which way to turn, God's still faithful. And He loves us more than we can imagine. Will you stand together with me this morning? I'm not going to ask my wife to go back to the piano, but I want you to stand with me.